Amen. Amen. All right. 2 weeks ago, we were on this subject of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What brought us there was the teaching on the spirit world. Last week, we discussed foundational truths. And in the last week, in talking about getting back to foundations, this is what we are. Here's one conclusion. In talking about getting back to foundations last Sunday, there was a conclusion that we came to, and I want to reiterate that before we continue on and finish up this teaching on seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So hear this real closely. Here's what we said. We said the complexity of human nature often brings definition to truth, but that doesn't mean that it's supposed to. Did you hear what I said? The complexity of our own human nature will often bring definition to truth, but that doesn't mean that it's supposed to. Just because you feel something in your emotion, and Ed, if you'll put the, there you go, you did. Just because you feel something with your emotions doesn't mean that that feeling is true, even though you're really feeling it. Just because you think a thought doesn't mean that it's your thought just because you think it. Suggestions from outside of the human body can invade your soul, and as a result of that, you'll lay ownership of the very thoughts that you have. How many of you are saved and know that Jesus lives in your heart? All right, here, watch this. You're a child of God. Therefore, a thought that comes into your brain that is contrary to the teachings of the Word of God is not your thought. It doesn't define you. See, I'm a child of God. Therefore, a thought that comes into my brain is not necessarily a thought that is influenced by God. It can be influenced by the complexity of your own human nature or your flesh nature. It can also be a suggestion from a demonic spirit. Therefore, understanding the spirit world and understanding yourself is the objective of this teaching. Okay? Now, in the foundational truths that we talked about last week, getting back to foundations, we discovered a couple of things. There are practical foundational truths, and then there's doctrinal foundational truths. Okay, both are a little bit different, but they're similar in terms of this. Listen to this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Everybody say amen to that. Let me say that verse again. It's been quoted 1,000 times and you know it. We know that all things work together for good. How many things? Even those things that we feel are bad are actually good. How many of you have ever experienced a bad thing or something that you would say, this is horrible in my life, this is terrible, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this situation. How many has ever faced that? That feeling, that emotion that is something connected to something bad is based on the truth of God's Word, something good. All things work together for what? For good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Here's the practical foundational truth that we discovered last week, talked about a little bit. Here's a practical foundational truth. God's purpose is more important than the way you feel. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Matter of fact, I want you to say it with me. God's purpose is more important than the way I feel. One more time, say it. God's purpose is more important than the way I feel. Now, if we can grab a hold of that practical foundational truth, it'll change our lives. Most people end up living their lives with questions like, why did you do this, God? How did you allow this to happen, God, in my life? I've been trying to serve you, Lord, yet I'm in this tragedy or I'm experiencing this bad event. Why did you allow this to happen? We have to get back to the foundational truth of God's purpose is more important than the way I feel. If you embrace that in a practical sense, it will sustain you through life's troubles. Now, let's get to to compare that. That's a practical foundational truth. And watch this, listen. If that foundational truth is not in place in your life, guess what's going to happen? Your emotions will guide you instead of the Holy Spirit guiding you. You'll be jerked around by the way you feel instead of by the truth that is in the person of the Holy Spirit that resides in the life of a believer. So foundationally speaking, you can't go no further than that principle. Until that principle is embraced, you will remain in a shallow existence with Christ until you embrace that principle that the way you feel does not equal the importance of God's purpose. By the way, if you want to know these bad events or these tragic things that occurs in your life, if you want to know what the purpose is, it's real simple. Everybody thinks, boy, there's just some things there's no answers to. Well, I beg to differ with you. I think the Bible answers every question. Okay? And if you want to discover what God's purpose is, it's in Romans 8:29. We often quote 8:28. We never quote 8:29. 8:29 is whom God did foreknow, he did also predestinate, watch, to be conformed to the image of his son. So the purpose that is given into your life is to make you more like Jesus. And God has allotted enough experiences in your life to bring that about. Now that's a practical foundational truth, and there's more and more and more and more, and you can discover them as you study the Word of God. There's no way in one teaching like last week that we can try to give you that. But let me give you a doctrinal foundational truth that I think that we've wandered away from. Listen to this. You'll agree with this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It is a foundational doctrinal truth. Now, why is that important? Here's why. Listen to me. There is nothing you can do, no good work that you can perform on the earth to get yourself saved. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Did y'all hear what you just agreed to? I don't think you did. There is no good work that you can perform on this earth to get yourself saved. If you're trusting church, going to church to get you saved, not happening. Salvation is by grace. It is through faith. It is not of yourselves. Now, here's the foundational truth you need to grab a hold of. If there is no good work that you can do to get yourself saved, here's the good news, and it's better news. There's no bad work that you can do to get yourself unsaved. I don't know why y'all are not throwing things up in the air and flying on a trapeze right now. It is all by the power of God. The Bible teaches that over and over and over. It's a doctrinal foundational truth. Now watch this. If you don't get that doctrinal foundational truth embraced in your life, you're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your peace. You'll stay in a constant state of concern and worry over your own destiny. God said, once you're in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out of his hand. Matter of fact, he says that he is the one that keeps us. I am kept by the power of God because I have no power within myself. How many of you following me so far? So here we come then to this complex human being that has to battle all of the government of his flesh and soul in order to embrace a truth from the Spirit that cannot be seen through eyes of flesh. If you look at yourself through eyes of flesh, all you're going to see is dirt, grime, filth, and sin. But God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Satan, knowing this, if I can, and when in this teaching of the spirit world, I know you'll be excited about this. We're not going to spend all of our time on demons and devils and all of that. We're also going to spend time on the Holy Spirit who is in the spirit world. And let me give you just a little preview of that. From the spirit of man, Paul teaches in the book of Romans, the spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. I got to ask you this one more time. I ask it a bunch. How many of you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? The Holy Spirit resides in your spirit, giving you spiritual insight. Okay? God works on the human being from inside out. Satan works on the human being from outside in. Both have the same goal. It is to control your soul. Are you hearing me? Flesh nature made of dirt judges things based off of the evidence of the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the touch. Flesh nature governed by that is made out of dirt. But the soul of man, his affection, his reason, his memory, his conscience, his imagination, that is the target that Satan is after. If Satan can cause you to feel something or imagine something that affects your capacity to reason, then he is in charge of your soul. And that is the target. God is after the soul, and he works from the spirit to the soul. Satan is after the soul. He works from the flesh to the soul. That's why Paul writes this. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. See, being elevated from glory to glory is the manifestation through our body of a Christ-governed soul. Are you with me? To feel what Jesus wants me to feel. Think what Jesus wants me to think. To remember what Jesus wants me to remember. To control my soul is all wrapped up in the Lordship of Christ. And therein lies this struggle that we're all in. Here's the struggle. As God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, is seeking entrance into your soul, Satan is working just as hard to gain entrance into your soul. And I'm talking in the life of a believer, not an unbeliever, but the life of a believer, which is why this is important. Now we get back to this teaching on seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I don't know how long we've been talking about the spirit world, but boy, do we have a long way to go. And I'm determined that we're going to teach through it as hard as it may sound, and y'all might get tired of hearing it, but we're going to go all the way through it. There's so much that we need to discover. The relationship, not just with man, but the relationship with governments, nations, kingdoms, the organization of principalities. Because I am convinced as never before, I've talked to way too many people and I've experienced it in my own life, that we're living in a time where the intensity of these things is on the rise. Therefore, the very thoughts, the very affections of your life are often not yours. And if you lay identity to it, if you lay definition to it that it's yours, you will conform to that. But if you lay identity to the thoughts that Jesus wants you to think, the feelings that Jesus wants you to think, and you lay ownership to that, then watch this. You will be conformed to the image of his dear son. And that's what we want. So we're here what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, everybody say that, in the latter times. How many of you believe we're living in the latter times? Paul says to Timothy, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, I got to tell you, there is a myriad of excuses why people leave serving God. There is all kinds of reasons that people use for slacking on their service to the Lord, their commitment to Christ. There's a lot of reasons that people give or justify why they're not consumed with the faith. Another foundational truth, the Word of God is the faith in its totality. And that's what's being spoken of in context here. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And here's how you can tell if they're departing from the faith. They'll give heed to seductive spirits, allurements in the soul, especially in the affection area. They'll give heed to what their desires are. And their desires created in their soul comes oftentimes by what they see and desire. What caused Achan to sin in the Old Testament? He said, I saw, I coveted, I took. He saw with his eyes. He fell in love with what he saw. And as a result of it, he began to covet that, desire that, and he took it. Okay? So you can actually draw a line from the eye gate to affection over into the soul, and you'll realize that you must protect what you see in order to protect the way you feel. Everybody say amen to that. See, a seducing spirit is there to produce that in your life. Now, I've got at this point, I think I've used this illustration before, but I go back to a time when I was a kid. I was racing a motorcycle with a friend of mine, and we was doing laps around this gas station, and the throttle hung up on my motorcycle. I wasn't watching where I was going, and me and a Pepsi machine had a head-on collision. I still think the Pepsi machine was at fault. It shouldn't have been there. Right? Everybody say amen to that. And as a result of it, I broke my knee. All right, and I was in a cast forever. And I'll never forget, boy, it was during the summertime too, so you take a clothes hanger down in that cast, you know, and you're scratching and carrying on. And I was so excited about getting that cast off, and I'll never forget this, I had to go to another town to get the doctor to set the leg and all of that sort of thing. So the day that the cast come off, I was so excited, and I had plans. Boy, and I was just a kid. I'm going to go run, jump, play. I'm going to have a blast. He took that cast off my leg. I jumped down off that table and hit the floor. Leg was too weak. The leg was too weak. See, watch this. The injury was already healed. The recovery time took forever. Haley's had 1,585 surgeries on that leg. The last one she had, it took her a year to learn to walk again. Here's what Satan's after in your life. It's not necessarily the injury. It's to sideline you with recovery time where you live in shame, guilt, reproach. Are you with me? That's what he's really after. If he can injure your flesh through some behavior, then he can gain access into your soul and cause you to feel that injury for an extended period of time and sideline you with shame. And that's what's done through a seducing spirit. Now, this thing of seducing spirits leads to doctrines of devils. I want to go on here real quick and show you how seducing spirits and doctrines of devils work together. We went through this, so we're going to go through this real quick to get to what I want to talk about today, but you need this in order for you to understand what we're talking about. Seducing spirits work through the government of the flesh and soul to draw us into the establishment of a doctrine of the devil. Here's what I mean by that. There are many that I'm convinced of this. Many who know Christ, they've been saved, they attend church, they read the Bible every day, they pray every day, they're doing all the disciplines, all they know how to do. But here's what happens. When a seductive spirit comes and lures the affections of your soul, or the capacity to reason, or reminds you of a memory of something that happened long ago. See the memory line up there. Or something that is embedded in your imagination. When Satan gains entrance into that part of you and all of those things become active around a seducing spirit, here's what will happen. You will form a doctrine of the devil to set the course of your life and not even realize you're doing it. For example, you come into a church and somebody walks right by you, they don't speak to you, and immediately you establish in your mind, this person don't like me. And that person didn't even see you. So a year goes by, and every time that you see that person, you've made a judgment against that person that he is of a particular personality that you just don't like. What has happened? A seductive spirit has gained entrance into your mind, and you've created a doctrine of the devil to guide your thinking, and it's not that initial event that Satan's really excited about, but he is excited over the fact that for the next year, there is a wall or a wedge built between you and another believer. Because Satan knows that if you and another believer get together, you can set 10,000 demons to flight, the Bible says.
That's right.
Are you with me? So it is in the establishment of these doctrines of devils that seducing spirits find their motivation. Here's something else that I want you to see. We're vulnerable to seducing spirits in our intellect or the capacity of reason. This is done through academia or instruction. Listen to me. Watch this. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Let me say that one more time. We all need to hear it. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. And you cannot just judge truth based off of what your eyes see or your ears hear. You cannot judge truth even off of what you experience. Are you with me? Let me give you just a small scenario here, a little illustration of that. How many of you believe the Lord heals? How many of you know He don't heal everybody? Listen to this. Whether people know this or not, we have a pretty good track record as humans of dying. Have y'all caught on to that? 6,000 years of it, as a matter of fact. Watch this. I would probably be 100% accurate in saying to you who are sitting here, we are all going to die. Now, I got to tell you something. Listen, I know nobody likes to talk like that, but can I tell you that that doesn't make me a doom and gloom teacher. Makes me a truthful teacher. See, I know a bigger truth. There's more to life than this body. Y'all didn't hear that. See, that's my point. Satan has drew a blinder in our eyes. We think death is a bad thing. What's what God said? God said the death of His kids are precious in His sight. You didn't hear that. Now you say, but I've never experienced that. That's my point. Just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean it's not true. Do you know when that revelation will come to you that death's not a big deal? When you die. Now, if you tap into it a little ahead of time, here's what will happen. You'll have joy and no fear. Hello? But here's what can cause that to happen. The only thing that can cause that to happen is if you embrace and believe the truth of God's Word. It's appointed unto men once to die. The only ones I know of that ain't dead yet is Enoch and Elijah. I personally believe they're coming back during the tribulation. They'll die then. Their bodies is going to lay dead in the street for 3 days and then they're going to be resurrected. I mean, I don't know if you've thought about this much, but Enoch right now is in heaven and the guy's almost 6,000 years old. I mean, that's older than Roger Coffey. Not by much, but a little bit. Right? See, what I'm saying is we have a good track record of dying, and Jesus come and said this, I am the resurrection and the life. If you'll come unto me, I'll give you eternal life. That is life forever. You'll live forever. Now, how many of us really believe that? Because if we really believed that, death would not hold that big of a deal over us. That's why when I seen my daddy raise his hand and look off, listen, we was in their house, and Dad raised his hand. He wasn't a bit more seeing the ceiling of that bedroom than nothing. He was not blocked by anything of an inanimate object. He was seeing an angel band gathered around him, fixing to carry him right into the very presence of God. Amen. As he drew his last breath. And Haley testified to this. When Dad passed away, I got giggled up. I was happy for him. Hey, he just got promoted from earth to heaven. Everything he had ever taught me had just become real to him. Please say y'all understand that. So it doesn't matter what kind of academia or instruction you get, seducing spirits will use evidence of the eyes and the ears to try to bring you into the establishment of a doctrine of the devil. You're vulnerable in that area. That's why your mind has got to be saturated with the Word of God. Here's something else that we talked about. Listen to this. We're vulnerable to seducing spirits in our affection or the capacity for desire. So much that we can say about that. So much I'd like to say about that, but we don't have time. This can cause you to live your life around what you desire and attach your desires to the Word of God. Boy, I'd love to drive down on that in a little bit, but we're not going to. Listen to this. We're vulnerable to seducing spirits in our memory. And this is big. This is an area where Satan desires to attack me. Okay, he's in my memory. And we're vulnerable to seducing spirits in our memory by living life the way it has been modeled before us by others. Listen, if I've ever told you a foundational practical truth, here's one. You should not want to be where God was. Neither should you want to be where God is going to be. You want to be where God is. And wrapping yourself around where God is requires a discerning spirit to know what God is doing. Don't allow fear to stop you from discerning what God is doing. I can declare this to you. I don't know if you'll get it or not. God is moving now more than at any other time in the history of my life. I see it all around me. And listen, let me tell you, we experienced a few years of all-out revival at the church, did we not? Did we not? I mean, all-out revival, where we were seeing miracle after miracle, salvation after salvation, healing after healing, all kinds of things. And listen, it wasn't like I was getting up and preaching on healing and somebody get healed. No, God would heal somebody while I was preaching on hypocrites. I've watched it happen. So it didn't have nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with God. So God would show up there and do something, and then I'd try to have to find it in the Word and then try and preach it. It was like God ambushed us. But can I tell you, as glorious as that was, I see God moving more now than at any other time in the history of my life. No one else wants to see it because we want to see what we consider in our flesh and soul as good. But in our spirit, we have to know that all things are good. Watch this. They keep touting on the news, there's a coming food shortage. There's a coming food shortage. And it's designed to bring fear into our heart. Watch, listen, the reality is there probably is a coming food shortage. But guess what the truth is? We get to see God provide for His children in miraculous fashion. There's this disease and that disease. Is people going to die? Yeah, but God's also going to show up and heal some people, and it's going to be fun. Are y'all with me? Seductive spirits, they'll lead us into doctrines of devils. Now, That's not all concerning seductive spirits. I'm giving you just basic things, and I hope you'll grab a hold of them. We talked about these doctrines, but we didn't go through the whole list. I want to show you some doctrines of devils, but before I do, listen to what a doctrine is. A doctrine is the establishment of a government in your life, something that sets the course for your life. It's something that you contemplate in your mind and convince yourself that this is true. Okay? And some doctrines of devils can be, they can sound true, but they're not true. Okay? Did y'all hear what I just said? Let me say it again because I want you to hear it. Some doctrines of devils can sound true, but they're not true. That's the way he confronted Eve. He took half-truth, mixed it with error, and it became a complete perversion. Scripture also says this, there's a way that seems right to the man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You with me? So let me give you just a couple of these doctrines, and we talked about them. This is the first one. God will never give up on you. Sounds good, but it's not true. God will give up on you. And can I tell you, one of the ways, if y'all can hear my heart, please. One of the ways we see God moving in today's world is he's given up on people. Genesis 6:3, God said this, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Romans 1, three different times God says, I'm giving up on you. In Romans 1. In Proverbs 1, God says the same thing. I'm going to give up on you. Now, I know I've talked about this earlier, but I want to reiterate it because it's important. This can become a foundational truth you'll set the course of your life on, and it's not true. And if it's not true, it's a doctrine of the devil, not a doctrine of God. You with me? I do believe this. We're living in a society that God is giving up on. A careful look at the book of Romans, here's what God says. You want to defile yourself, men with men, women with women, I tell you that I will turn you over to your own ways. That is God giving up on a society. Hello? You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And boy, listen to this. Abraham and God went back and forth in negotiation over Sodom and Gomorrah. And they went back and forth, and they went back and forth, and they went back and forth. If I can find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? For 50, I'll save it. Well, God, what about for 40? What about for 30? What about for 20? What about for 10? Finally, two angels. I pray to God your ears are opening right now. Listen to this. Two angels took bodily form, materialized in bodily form, and come to Sodom. And they were so attractive that the homosexual community gathered and wanted those two angels to have sex with. And Lot knew that the wickedness of the place he was living in was so wicked that he brought those angels in his house and tried to tell the perverts outside, let me just give you my daughter. And no, they wanted those angels. Whole big teaching about the materializing of angels. We've been doing podcast after podcast about something called Nephilim. I'm hoping y'all maybe listen to it. But it's all about fallen angels. Angels can materialize. There are some angels that can materialize in bodily form. Lot, those angels told Lot, I hope you're hearing this. Lot, living in a backslidden condition and a backslidden place, those angels said, we got to get you out of here. We can't allow what's going to happen until we get you out of here. You ought to be praising God for that. Those angels got Lot out of there, and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed with fire and brimstone. There comes a time when God gives up on you. I have a personal testimony about that, but I'm not going to go. Look here. Here's the doctrine of the devil. God helps those that helps themselves. It's good country slang. It's a good country principle. It's not true. It's not even close to true. Matter of fact, listen to this. Here's the truth. You can't help yourself. It is not within you to help yourself. Somebody say amen to that. Listen to this. Here's what God said about that. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, passage we know. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. It ain't about you helping yourself. It's about you trusting in the only one that can help you. See, if this is true, if God only helps those that helps themselves, that means it's based off of your performance and your works. Hello? Can I tell you what will create a bigger mess than anything you can make in your life? Is if you try to do something you can't. You know that? There are some people think they can do anything. Then there's people like me that knows they can do nothing. I'm best suited to do what I can and then hire somebody to do what I can't. Hello? Listen, if the plumbing was to go bad at my house and I'd try to fix it, I'd flood the whole county. I know that. So I am smart enough to say, God, will you please send somebody that knows how to do this? And he did. He moved me in next door to Ken Martin. Right? You understand that concept? Everybody here understands that concept. Watch this. Listen to this. If you're flying from here to Hawaii in a plane, how many of you wants Joey Gregg flying the plane? How would that make you feel? If Joey Gregg, come on, I'm your pilot. I'd terrify everybody, right? Say amen to that. See, watch, this same principle spiritually is true, yet Satan will, through a seductive spirit, create this thing in you to where he's trying to convince you it's based on your performance. It's based on your works. God will only help those that helps themselves. No, God intervenes on behalf of those that completely surrender to Him and say, I'm nothing, Lord, and you're everything. I can do nothing, but with you I can do all things through Christ. It's a doctrine of the devil. There's more here. Here's a good one. God will forgive every sin. No, He won't. It's a doctrine of the devil. We hear people talk about this all the time. Boy, it doesn't matter. Listen, whatever, God will forgive every, not according to these verses. 1 John 5, 16, Matthew 12, 31, there is a sin that God will not forgive. Did you know something interesting about forgiveness? Watch this. It's hard to forgive someone who doesn't ask for it. Forgiveness is a gift. You can even offer it. But if it's not taken, then it's never appropriated. Are y'all with me? Now listen to this. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive. Therefore, confession of sin is paramount to God's forgiveness. The only way to confess sin is to acknowledge what sin really is. And to know what sin really is. I would challenge everybody here, and we're already out of time, I'll go through these real quick. Just give me a couple minutes. I would challenge everybody here to study the Bible completely, to find out all of the terms that is used biblically to define sin. How many of you have ever seen a sign, no trespassing? Trespass, that term is used in the Bible to define sin. But it's a specific kind of sin. It's finding yourself in a place you should not be. Hello? In other words, if your thought life is wandering in a place it should not be, you're trespassing. You with me? How many's ever heard of the word iniquity? It's basically defined as missing the mark. That's why Paul says, I press toward the mark. It's knowing there is an established standard and failing to meet it. Falling short. Y'all with me? Transgression. All of those terms in the Bible that is used to define sin has a particular definition tied to it. Paul then comes along in the book of Romans and defines, I think, an overriding principle of what sin is in chapter 14. Y'all ready for this? Everybody say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
One more time, say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Here's what Paul says. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. This will surprise you. Some of the greatest vulnerabilities I have to sin is when I stand up and teach God's word. Do you hear that? I don't know whether they know it or not, but some of the greatest vulnerabilities that Haley has to sin is when she sings a song. When Mark plays the piano, when Joe plays his guitar. Those are some of the greatest areas of vulnerability to sin. The greatest area of vulnerability for our pastor to sin is when he's teaching the Word of God. You know why? Because you can do it without trusting God for it. I share this with you and I'm done. I promise you I'm closing here. But I'm using a personal experience. I'd like to make this more applicable, but I struggle to know how. But watch this. I've shared with you before, and I've been preaching about it all my life. Okay? Can I tell you one of the worst things that ever happened to me? I learned how. The mechanics, the homiletical methods, I learned how to preach. It was that was the most disastrous thing ever happened in my life. I absolutely could take a verse of scripture. Listen, I didn't have to study, read a verse. I could outline a verse sitting in the seat and get up in 3 minutes and preach an hour message on it. Now, some of it came out of knowledge, but the biggest thing is I just learned how. If I wanted people to shout, I could make them shout. If I wanted people to cry, I could make them cry. It didn't matter, whatever. I learned how to preach. The day I learned how to preach, my preaching became sin. It was no longer anointed. And I felt the presence, the lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit on it. And I'll never forget this, the longest day of my life. I went into my bedroom and I got on my knees and I began to weep and cry. And I said, God, I don't ever want to preach a sermon ever again. Give me a message. And it was a horrifying thing for me. But I did learn this truth. Knowledge without the presence of God, knowledge without faith in God is nothing but sin. The same thing is true in your own life. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. These things are doctrines of the devil. Just for the sake of time, I'm just going to name these. Here's another doctrine. God accepts me just like I am. No, he don't. It's something everybody says, but it's not true. God does not accept you just like you are. Matter of fact, there is nothing acceptable about you. That's why Ephesians describes it this way: God hath made me accepted in the beloved. That's why whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Exercise faith in Christ. Christ makes you acceptable. God don't accept us like we are. He can't. That's why Jesus died. Shake your head. It's a doctrine of the devil. You got time to get right. Boy, what a doctrine of the devil. God's word can't be trusted. Well, boy, that's not an establishment in my life. Is that right? I wonder how many people have said, you know what? The word of God works for everybody else. It just don't work for me. I want to ask you this question, please. How many of us ever had that thought? Well, the Bible works for everybody else, but it just don't work for me. I don't understand why God does this for so-and-so, but he won't do it for me. Listen, how many of us ever had more confidence in somebody else's prayers than your own? It's the same thing. Probably the most sought after doctrine of the devil and one of the most prevalent nationally is Jesus is not really the Son of God. See, watch. At the beginning, all of these are doctrines of devils and people are setting the course of their life on these things. How did it happen? Seducing spirits has allured the affections and the capacity for reason in man. The target is the soul. That's what Satan's after. He wants to control the way you feel, the way you think, the way you remember, the way you process thought. If he can do that, he can pervert, minutely at times, but he can pervert your understanding of the Word of God. And if he perverts that understanding, you're lost in an emotional, unstable world. And you will become emotionally unstable with no longer the capacity to reason or think with the Lord and His Word. God said to Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. I mean, I heard what I said. Bless your word, Lord, and teach us. And Lord, guide us now as we continue on in this study of the spirit world. Energize now what we need in weeks to come. Lord, as we dive deeper into your truth, Father, we feel like the foundations of this are set. Now, as we dig deeper into the truth, I pray, God, you'll open our eyes and give us supernatural revelation of all of the things that you would have us to know. We'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.